Family can bring us so much joy. The holidays bring us so much joy. There are victories that we win. There are accomplishments and there are promotions and friends that we share time with. Man, life, sometimes is it something you just look at yourself? And I was singing that song, God, you've been so good to me. And I was almost brought to tears because he's been so good. There's been so many wonderful times in my life. Life can be so, so good. But life can be hard. Life can be difficult. There's trouble, there's death, there's sickness, there's people who hate us, there are people who are throwing spears at us. This is life. You know, sometimes I look at others and I see only those highs in their lives, and sometimes I say to myself, I wish I lived a life like that. I wish I lived a charmed life. But we know life is filled with highs and lows. We all suffer. We all struggle. We all question. And David wrote about it in Psalms. He wrote a lot about it in Psalms. He wrote about the highs and lows, the victories and defeats. In fact, last quarter, for 13 weeks in our adult Bible class, we spent 13 weeks looking at Psalms of Lament. David and others just crying out before God. And some of those laments come from this period in David's life where he was on the run. And so there are some times where the people of God, where believers, are just overwhelmed with grief and overwhelmed with sorrow. And David experienced that. But today, we want to look at Psalm 18. Again, that's a parishioner's pick. And this is a psalm of victory. This is an opportunity that we have to get a peek into David's heart. The person who submitted this wrote this. It tells a beautiful story of how far God will go to rescue us, how much he loves us, especially when we feel overwhelmed with daily life. So let me read you the first 19 verses of Psalm 18. And as I read this to you, I want you to hear that this is David's God. But let me tell you also, this is not just David's God, this is your God. I love you, Lord, my strength. I love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge. My shield, and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I call to the Lord, who is worthy of praise, and I have been saved from my enemies. The cords of death entangled me. The torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. The cords of the grave coiled around me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. From his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ears. The earth trembled and quaked, and the foundations of the mountains shook. They trembled because he was angry. Smoke rose from his nostrils. Consuming fire came from his mouth. Burning coals blazed out of it. He parted the heavens and came down. Dark clouds were under his feet. He mounted the cherubim and flew. He soared on the wings of the wind. He made darkness his covering, his canopy around him, the dark rain clouds of the sky. Out of the brightness of his presence, clouds advanced with hailstones and bolts of lightning. The Lord thundered from heaven. The voice of the Most High resounded. He shot his arrows and scattered the enemy. With great bolts of lightning, he routed them. The valleys of the sea were exposed and the foundations of the earth laid bare at your rebuke, Lord, at the blast of breath from your nostrils. He reached down from on high and took hold of me. He drew me out of deep waters. He rescued me from the powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my disaster, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. Psalm is much longer. It goes on for 50 verses. And I encourage you to read the rest on your own. But let's try to digest this portion. Let's look at this section by section. The first two verses. I love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord, my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge. My shield and the horn of my salvation. My stronghold. Man, folks, we must love God. And that's what David, through all of this, he continually was in love with God, even in the troubles, even in the strife, because this love for God is going to sustain you in the desert places. We cannot abandon God. I'm reminded of John chapter 6. Jesus was teaching about the bread of life. He just fed 5,000 people, and then he starts teaching them that this isn't just about a good meal. This is about taking in me. And people are confused. And so people are leaving Jesus. He had this huge crowd and people just walking away. And then he turns to the apostles. Are you going to leave too? And Peter says, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. And even in the desert places, David knew there was no one else to go to. We must love God. We may doubt him like David doubted him. We may be angry at God like David is angry, but we always need to love him. And he loves God because look at the descriptions that he uses in verse 2. He's my strength. He's my rock. A place of protection. The Judean wilderness had plenty of caves and crags. It's almost like an old Western movie where the enemy was after you, shooting, 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 and you find that rock that you can duck behind. That was the Lord to him. He's the one in whom he took refuge. He was the shield, protection from the evil people around him, the horn of my salvation. Not exactly sure what the horn of my salvation means. There's a couple of possibilities. Could be the horns of an animal that protect. Or it could be the horn of a crag of a mountain that you find defense in. He's my stronghold. He's my safe place. He's my fortress. See, David knew that this was his God, and this is your God. This is not just David's God. This is our God as well. But all of those descriptions imply that we're going to need them. All of those descriptions imply that there's going to be times when we're being pursued by enemies, but they remind us that God will protect us. Verse 3, because of that, David says, I call to the Lord. He is worthy of praise, and I've been saved from my enemies. Who do you call on in times of distress? But David, knowing that God is the rock, the shield, the stronghold, all of those things, he knew that God was the one who was able to see him through. And then the psalm takes this turn for the better. He says, I have been saved from my enemies. Isn't it wonderful? Isn't it glorious when God delivers? Now, I'm thinking of times in my life as I was composing this, and right now I'm thinking of times in my life where God just came through and he just saved me and just delivered me. He protected me. Isn't it wonderful when God shows up in wonderful, powerful ways? I want you to think yourself, and I'll give you time later to bring these up to God, but think of times in your own life where God just came through and he protected you. And I bet there were probably times in my life and in your life when he delivered and you didn't even know it. Verse 4 and 5. Have you ever felt like this? This is how David felt. The cords of death entangled me. The torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. The cords of the grave coiled around me. The snares of death confronted me. Talk about desperate. I felt that way. Tied up, out of control, being washed away by the water, totally desperate, where all seemed lost, feeling hopeless. Isn't it good to know that David felt that way as well? Verse 6, in my distress I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. And then listen to this. From his temple he heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ears. He hears my voice. Your cry comes before him. He hears you. Then in verse 7, the rescue begins. The earth trembled and quaked, the foundations of the mountains shook. God is in action. They trembled because he was angry. Smoke rose from his nostrils. Consuming fire came from his mouth. Burning coals blazed out of it. He parted the heavens and came down. Dark clouds were under his feet. He mounted the cherubim and flew. He soared on the wings of the wind. He made darkness his covering, his canopy around him. The dark rain clouds of the sky. Out of the brightness of his presence, clouds advanced with hailstones and bolts of lightning. The Lord thundered from heaven. The voice of the Most High resounded. He shot his arrows and scattered the enemy with great bolts of lightning. He routed them. The valleys of the sea were exposed, and the foundations of the earth laid bare at your rebuke, at the blast of the breath from your mouth, from your nostrils. Man, what powerful imagery. When God sets into action this dramatic and colorful description of the Lord's power, he comes with a vengeance. I'm reminded of Romans 12 when Paul says, don't take vengeance for yourself, but leave room for God's wrath. It is mine to avenge. I will repay, and God will avenge. He will repay. He's on this rescue mission for his people. I love that vision of he mounted the cherubim. He's coming. Cherubim are angels. He mounts the angels. He's on the winds of the wind, and he's coming. You know, we've heard of great mission rescues before where warriors swoop in, totally overwhelming the enemy, and then carrying the prisoner back to safety. What a mighty and powerful God we serve. And then 16 through 19, mission accomplished. He reached down from on high and took hold of me. He drew me out of deep waters. He rescued me from the powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my disaster, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. What a powerful, powerful God we have who saves us. You know, yesterday we did, of course, all remember the 20th anniversary of 9/11. There are so many images from that day. A lot of those images are people running away from the clouds of smoke that were produced by the falling of the buildings. And that probably would have been me running away. But then you see pictures of firemen running into the debris, running into the disaster. Firemen finding survivors and carrying those people out into a spacious place. And that is what God has done for us. I want to lead us in some guided prayer next few minutes in response to this psalm. And so I'll give you a cue and pray a little bit. Then I'm just going to pause and let you offer your thoughts and mind and your prayer to God. So let's bow our heads right now. And first, let's just give him thanks. Give him thanks for all that he has done for you. Give him thanks for all the times that he has delivered you, the victories that he has given you, the glory of this life. So take some time and just say, God, you are amazing. You are my deliverer. You're my rock. You're my strength. I know some of you are in deep waters. Keep loving God. Know God as your shield. Know God as your rock. And for those that are ensnared by death or being washed away by the torrents of this life, I want you to know. And I believe David knew this even while he was in that Judean wilderness on the run. He knew that God had a rescue plan for him. And David knew that at any moment, it may be that moment when God sets that plan into action. It may be any moment in your life as you're going through the deep waters. Maybe God is calling the cherubim right now, and he's right ready to mount those cherubim and coming to save you. He has a rescue plan for you. Believe that he will. He does. He is mighty to save. We have read that. We have sung about it. And so now just pray for the strength to wait and the hope to endure during those difficult times that you're experiencing or may experience in the past. Just pray that you'll hang on and keep hope alive that God is this rescuer. He's the deliverer. God, we know you will not give up on us. We will not give up on you. Now I want us to turn our minds to Christ, because doesn't it all go back to Christ? Or in David's case, doesn't it all lead to Christ? In Luke chapter 1, an angel appears to Zechariah and reveals to him that he and his wife Elizabeth, both very old, are going to give birth to a son. It was John the Baptist, and he's going to be filled with the Holy Spirit, and he's going to prophesy, and this is going to initiate everything that the Old Testament was looking forward to. The kingdom of God is coming. For 400 years, God has been silent, but now God breaks. He tears the heavens open again, and he's on this rescue mission, and it's going to start with John the Baptist. But in verse 68, as Zechariah is reflecting upon what's happening, he says, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come to his people and redeemed them." Then he quotes from Psalm 18, "He has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of his servant David." You know, the ultimate rescue plan was carried out by Jesus. He came to this earth, he died on the cross, and one day the greatest rescue plan that will ever be executed will be executed when he comes back to deliver us all. I want us to pause and just thank the Lord for Jesus Christ, thank God for Jesus Christ, who has rescued us from an eternity of pain and regret, has rescued us from our own sin, and may the anticipation of that victory fill us with hope and joy. Let's just reflect on what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. Our Father God, we thank you for the ways that you have delivered us. God, for the mighty things that you've done in our lives. For protecting us, for rescuing us. Father, for all the joy that we have as your children. We thank you so much. Father, we thank you for saving us through difficult, dark days that you have seen us through, that you have delivered, that you have shown up. Father, we give you thanks and we celebrate with King David that you have freed us. Father, we sometimes so often neglect to thank you. Thank you, Lord. We have a tendency to get ourselves in so much trouble, but you deliver us over and over again, and even in times when we don't even know it. Father, we thank you. You have done so much for us. We thank you. We live a victorious life through Jesus Christ. And Father, we know that as there have been times of despair, there will be times, and perhaps there are people, I know there are people right now that are just in the wilderness. Father, help us, even though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, to fear no evil, because you are with us. You are present. You are there. Father, I'm sorry, I'm so fearful at times. It's easy in these days to be fearful. You don't want us to live in fear. You want us to live in victory. So, Father, help us even in the darkest of days to find strength and hope with the assurance that you will rescue us. And Father, we turn our eyes to Jesus Christ. Our hero. Father, these are tears of joy that I'm shedding right now. Overwhelmed. Your love. Sinful, messed up people like us that you love so desperately. People who have made so many mistakes and gotten ourselves in so much trouble, and you come down and you save us through Jesus Christ. We're excited about when Christ comes back. We're excited about celebrating. We're excited when all evil will be extinguished. We look forward to that day. When there will be no more fear, no more sadness, no more death, no more dying. Just victory after victory after victory, glory upon glory upon glory when we're in your presence. It's all because of Jesus. We thank you for him. In his name we pray. Amen. Let's stand and let's sing.
I cast my mind to